Get up, his father says. He manages to stand on shaky legs. The slap to his face almost knocks him off his feet again, but he just about stays upright. There's a moment's pause, and then his father hits him again, even harder. You stupid boy! You stupid, stupid boy! He smacks him a third time, and Arthur just takes it. He knows he'll stand there and take it forever, because this is his life now, and he'll always be doing penance for what happened here today. Uther raises his hand a fourth time, and Arthur braces himself, his ears ringing. But his father pauses, lowers his hand. He gazes at Arthur instead, eyes like shards of ice. What you've done, it can never be undone. I will never look at you again without thinking that you nearly killed us all. Do you understand me? Mute, Arthur nods. Uther stares at him like he doesn't even know him. The silence stretches on for minutes this time. You owe me, Uther says finally, and his voice is like Arthur has never heard it before. You owe all of us. Arthur feels like a great weight is bearing down on him. One day I will call in this debt, and I'd better find you ready. For a moment he can't breathe. The words his father left unspoken linger in the air. Arthur can never screw up again. This is his first and last mistake. There can be no more. He drops out of university the next day, moves back into his father's house, and starts work full-time at the company. Except the plans for Arthur to one day inherit Arkstone have turned to dust. Uther makes it clear that he's not to be trusted anymore. The work he was doing before was fairly unimportant to begin with, and now he's been permanently demoted to delivery and errand boy. Never selected to perform any key tasks, not privy to any important information. He gets back into his training regime, making sure he's fighting fit and ready for anything in case he should be called on again. He doesn't know if his father even notices. They live like ghosts in the house, rarely crossing paths, rarely speaking. He doesn't think about university, or his friends, or the new life he was planning in a country far away. His life is about atonement now. He buries his indifference to the anti-magical cause, makes sure that his only thoughts are doing exactly what the job requires of him. He reads the literature. He memorizes the rhetoric. He agrees with every word that comes out of his father's mouth. The police never find Sophia. He thinks of her occasionally, wonders where she is. Perhaps she's the one who made it to Peru in the end. Perhaps she's the one finally living a life free of her father's shadow. Then he remembers that he's not paid to think, and he gets back to work. But in this quiet company, I forget sometimes just...